And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Monday morning. Ian is on vacation this week, so hope he's having a wonderful time in parts that are not here, that are elsewhere. Joe, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. Little baby show was last night. I didn't go, but there was a Rex Road there. So I'll bring a review to the show tomorrow. I did not wait up to find out the review of the show.
I can't wait to get his thoughts on how the little baby show went.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and I hope the listeners that won tickets on our show, I hope they enjoyed themselves last night.
Yeah. Big music weekend, right? Yep. CMA happened. Little baby happened.
And, a lot of stuff going on.
Yep. Might go to Counting Crows tomorrow. We'll see.
Wow. Here we go. A lot of stuff going on. Connor Newt.
Midlife crisis.
How we doing? What's going on?
It's a little early for me. I won't lie to you.
Connor Newt's struggling in there.
I'll be okay, but this is about 4 hours earlier than my normal wake up.
Oh, those young kids. Those days gone by, Joe, where you woke up at 10 o'clock.
So wait, this right here is so you wake up at 10?
Like 9:30.
Okay.
I'm 21 years old, Joe.
Dude, believe me, I didn't wake up at 9:30 at 21. I promise you. That was like 9:30. Oh, God.
I remember when I started
breakfast
college.
Breakfast is at 1 p.m.
And my first semester, freshman year, I ended up with an 8 o'clock class. And I was like, what am I doing? 8 o'clock? That's awful.
I know, man. I did the same thing. Exact same thing. It's like, oh, I don't have to do this. I can schedule like a noon class.
I think by the time like my junior year rolled around, I didn't even start a class until like 1:30 in the afternoon.
See, I've learned that lesson. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Are you a coffee drinker?
No. So I may take on a coffee this week.
Wow. Okay.
May have to.
Pop also has caffeine in it.
That is true.
If you need some pop. You know,
don't respond to that. We don't know what pop is.
Yeah.
It's
soda.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original word is soda pop, so you can go either way, I guess, but pop is
Coke.
Quicker.
This is SEC country,
Coke.
Buddy.
It's all
this is the South.
I do like the all Coke thing.
Yes. Before we get going, a quick shout out. Happy birthday to Heather Stanley. Today is her birthday.
Oh, all right.
So there's no way she's awake right now, but she'll probably listen to this later. So happy birthday, Heather Stanley, today.
Happy birthday, Heather. Good job.
The toddler. Getting a little crazy out there, Joe.
Yeah?
A lot of running around, a lot of yelling, she says every word now. So
All the words.
Got to be careful what you're saying.
Yeah,
out there.
Exactly.
Got to be real careful.
Watch your farting mouth.
That's right. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us later in the show at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. I've got a Rob rant coming up at 7:45. We'll get to the Stanley Cup Final, the NBA Finals a little bit later in the show as well. But, Joe, we begin with Tennessee losing in the Super Regional down in Fayetteville. They lose on Saturday in a game where they could really not muster up any offense whatsoever. They ended up with two hits in that game. They lose 4-3. And then yesterday they just get destroyed. 11-4 ends up being the final. At one point it was 10-1. And Arkansas just totally blew the doors open yesterday and ran away with it. So a two-game sweep for Arkansas over the weekend. They advanced to the College World Series. And Tennessee, after winning the national championship last year, will not make a return trip to Omaha this year. So, Joe, obviously a very disappointing weekend for Tennessee and Arkansas. What did you make of Tennessee and really, for the most part, not being all that competitive this weekend against Arkansas?
Yeah, disappointing, you know, performance at the plate for sure. And obviously, everybody, like, the ace has to have an ace start, Liam Doyle. And he didn't. You know, he couldn't hang it. I mean, that's a really good Arkansas team in a tough place to play. And I come away from that. You know, they beat them in the regular season too. And I think they're just a little bit better team than Tennessee. I think it's fair to look at this. And, you know, he ended up getting that extra day. But I do think that, you know, maybe Doyle didn't have to pitch as much as he did in the regional.
No.
Everybody was all excited about it, and Tony Vitale's like, "Oh, he just, you know, he insisted on it." But it's like, no, but you really are in charge. Like, you really do tell him what to do. Now, granted, Vitale had a great tackle on him after that game. And I don't know if that's, like, I have no idea if that's what happened or if it's just as simple as Arkansas, you know, just got him a couple times. And, you know, he leaves the game is still, I mean, it's still, they're still attached to Arkansas. And then the big hits were, you know, after him, but he left the bases loaded, so he ends up with a bad line. I just, you know, it just wasn't his best. It's also worth remembering that, like, down the stretch, he had a few outings that weren't great. Yep. But if you're not, if your ace is not going to be your ace at this time of year, you're not going to advance. So,
no, it's disappointing. You know, it was obviously a, you know, a supercharged atmosphere down there, too. Like, you know, Andrew Fisher was getting into it in game one, and then it immediately did not go well for him after that. A lot of buzz in that game, especially in game one. And then yesterday, like you knew, with Doyle pitching, once he got off to a rocky start, Tennessee was in trouble. And then really, before you could look in that game, I think it was 7-1. Like, by the time the fourth inning rolled around, it was 7-1 in that game. So they were just, I mean, you're immediately chasing early in the baseball game in that one. So that part of it did not go well. Obviously, the big story Saturday was Root and the way that he pitched, and some of the after pitch, after out shenanigans that was going on out there. A lot of yelling going on Saturday between Root and some Tennessee volunteers. The umpires met up and discussed it, gave teams warnings. What did you make of kind of all that went down on Saturday, Joe?
Yeah, there wasn't much. I mean, it wasn't hard to read those lips. Jeez.
It was not.
And look, Tony Vitello, I think some Arkansas fans took this the wrong way. I hear what Tony Vitello basically said after the game is, I don't have a problem with that, but also my guy was suspended for this. Cannon Peeble was suspended for this game for less.
Yep.
You know, and that, again, without knowing exactly the words that came out of Cannon Peeble's mouth in the region against Wake Forest, you know, and it is different crews. This is part of the problem, right? It's not the same crew. So some crews are like, okay, well, they're going to throw some F-bombs around. And, you know, you give them a warning one time, and it didn't seem like Tennessee got the benefit of the doubt. I would also ask, you know, is this a situation where some people thought this when Drew Gilbert got ejected from the Super Regional against Notre Dame? Is this a case where Tennessee's reputation and all that stuff hurts Tennessee? I mean, maybe. I'm sure some umpires, you know, feel like Chipper Jones feels, you know, about Tennessee again.
Yep.
Although I think Tennessee gets isolated for that in a sport where it's way more the norm than not, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm being a Tennessee homer in saying that, but I think they handled it right. I think those umps handled it right. I think my issue would be, man, Cannon Peeble's better have done something real. But it said something just real,
yeah,
you know, sinister for him to get that kind of a punishment, to have a key player out. Of course, Cannon Peeble's yesterday had a couple plays behind the plate during that inning that they blew it open that really tough. Like, you got to make those plays. They're both technically wild pitches, but you got to have those as a catcher. But anyway, yeah, you know, I thought yesterday we were on alert of, like, be ready because this, you know, there could be something. And then I think the emotions of a game like that change when it becomes a blowout. And luckily, no one was talking trash, or, you know, everybody was respectful. Tony Vitello's like crying, talking about Arkansas and his you know, his friends on the staff. So, I mean, like, all that stuff was good to see.
It was good to see. Nothing really ever popped off. I did find it hilarious that, like, I think it was the second inning in game one, where, like, Vitello or Anderson, I don't know which one, got a warning from the umpires, like, immediately for arguing ball and strikes. It's like, it's the second inning of the first game.
Yeah.
They're already getting warned from the dugout. This is, like, unbelievable to me.
Set the tone, man. Figure out where you can go. Figure out where the line is right away.
I guess they must have.
Yeah, so. But, it's, you know, this is only the second time since 2018 that one of the two teams in the state haven't been in Omaha.
Yep.
You know,
pretty wild.
Vandy wins at 19. Obviously, there's nothing in 20. They're both there in 21. 22 was the year, you know, where obviously Tennessee was the one seed. Then the last 2 years, you get Tennessee win it all last year. Tennessee goes the year before. So, it's too bad. You know, I mean, both of these teams, I think, were good enough, could have done it, needed to have their best, and they're both sitting there. I'm sure Vanderbilt fans are. Yeah, I don't know if they're talking a lot of trash. Some are, I'm sure.
I'm sure they're very happy with the result
this
weekend.
But they're certainly happy that they don't have to deal with any more Tennessee winning.
Yeah, and again, you know, Saturday, the most disappointing part for the Vols was just the bats went totally dry. They ended up with two hits in the entire game. And with Tennessee's offense and their ability to, yes, hit the long ball, but just keep themselves in it and keep themselves in at bats, in counts, just to not be able to come up with some timely hits in that game was really disappointing. You don't give yourself much of a chance at that point. And then, like I said yesterday, you're just chasing the game. So I think it's pretty clear Arkansas is better. Like, Arkansas is the better team. They're advancing to the College World Series, and we'll see what they do from here. But a disappointing result for Tennessee. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Vols are out, and they do not advance back to Omaha this year. We'll have more coming up next. I don't look like you had something to say.
I was just going to say, I do want to get into next, tip of the cap to the greatest conference in college baseball.
Yes. Yeah, we will do that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Checking your thoughts on the Vols on our phones and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vols lose over the weekend, get swept by Arkansas in the Super Regional, which means no Tennessee, no Vanderbilt. Coming up in the College World Series, Rex Road is really enjoying himself over here on the Twitterverse looking at things that will not be discussed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just looking at responses to tweets that are, like, so dumb that I won't even talk. I won't mention them, nor their author.
Totally unrelated, but
Who will now go back to the mute.
Totally unrelated, but I did text you yesterday. We may get into this later this week, but the message board geniuses account that you showed me on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a doozy this weekend, and I really enjoyed myself just going through some of them. Great stuff.
It's an amazing account. I mean, that's one of the few reasons to still be on Twitter is message board geniuses.
It's beautiful stuff. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Hope you all had a great weekend.
You too, bud.
Happy birthday, Heather. She deserves it today. I'm sure you're a lot to handle at home, so there's a lot of love that goes out for her. But yeah, my wife was a Razorback graduate, and when we would go and visit, that stadium is a pretty unique place to play, and so it was a good weekend in the family household where I was watching them go down. But this is just a general complaint. I just really don't like all the Shibuya that comes with college baseball, and I may be the old man, get off my lawn, but I don't know, Tennessee's kind of the ringleaders of some of it, but it's across the sport. Like, even in last night's game with the Oregon State Florida State, there was a lot of antics going on, a lot of lip reading and a lot of gesturing. It's just, I just really wish, and maybe I'm just an old man, but I was just always kind of taught to respect your opponent, but also too, I wasn't that good, so maybe my coaches knew I couldn't talk trash and get away with it and make my other teammates look stupid out there too. So that's just my statement. Happy Monday, gentlemen, and tighten up, baby.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. I think here's what I would say. I do think, just from watching college baseball, and Tennessee certainly, big part of this, watching college baseball. And then, like, you flip on an MLB game, like, you are more likely, I guess, in my mind, to see, like, an absolute outburst of emotion, energy, all those things in college baseball, particularly now. I mean, you're talking about the postseason. I kind of like it. I mean, not just the Tennessee part of it. Like, that stuff doesn't really bother me unless it's just totally over the top. I don't know how traditional baseball fans feel about it, but that stuff, for the most part, doesn't bother me, unless you're like, pulling a Jordan Beck and as you're rounding the bases, shooting double mills out there. Probably need to avoid doing that. But other than that, I think we're good.
But we'll never forget that.
No, we won't.
That's a moment in time.
It is frozen in time.
Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of baseball-related rants. Like, I've ranted about, it's not the screaming and all that stuff. It's the little goofy little things they do when they get to second base,
I got another one coming up at 7:45.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. And you've also had the rant about baseball players being soft. So
I have.
We've covered some baseball territory. That's my thing. I honestly, of all the things in baseball, it's when I first saw an MLB player do some little you know, to the dugout when he got on and say, dude, you're a pro athlete. And again, it's like, okay, so why is that different than like a touchdown dance or, you know, someone dunk on someone and look in the camera? I don't know. For whatever reason in baseball, like, and you're on base, just act like you've been there before. Yeah. Again, does that make sense when you compare it to other sports? Not necessarily. In soccer, they spend 5 minutes celebrating a goal. But it just bothers me. And it's like
very often, so you guys.
That's right. But it's like, it's adopting something stupid from college. I mean, again, you go watch softball, and it's like a lot more like choreographed stuff, yeah. You know, which is kind of like little kids. And, you know, I mean, who hasn't sat in a dugout? We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher, you know.
Great times.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Long time ago for some of us. But, I don't have a problem with the emotion. I think it does get – yeah, you think about kids watching sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, man, these guys are just screaming. But
I also think –
look, man, it's high stakes, high emotion.
Now, look, I also we all love football, right? But most of the time, you can't really tell. Unless somebody, like a microphone catches it, you can't really tell what the football players are saying. They got helmets on. Like, it's not – it's like hockey. I'm here to tell you. I think a lot of people generally would be stunned by what gets said on the ice in a hockey game, particularly like a high-level, like playoff hockey game. Mm-hmm. It gets a little rowdy down there, let me tell you.
Sure.
So now I think baseball, I mean, it's not as fast-paced as those two sports, and you could see it. Like, I mean, when Root on Saturday, when he struck Andrew Fisher out and the camera goes right to him, like it didn't take a law degree to figure out what he said there. Like it's like, oh, okay, we're getting after it over here. Like I think that happens in high level competitive sports more than people think it does out there.
Yeah, it is. It comes down to like, yeah, sometimes just like what the camera catches. Jared now follows up in the text and says, "Baseball isn't a sport, so they got to spice up their game by the end." Says, okay, let's take it easy now. Let's take it easy now. The Detroit Tigers just beat the Chicago Cubs 2 out of 3. Just want you to know.
That's where my rant comes from at 7:45.
Oh, boy. So Sean says, so that bothers you, but crying NBA players don't. I don't even know what he's referring to. I mean, okay.
I don't know what that means.
I, who knows? Sean texts a lot of dumb stuff. Sorry, Sean. I'll call you out.
Dustin from Hopkinsville says, anytime those arrogant, gaudy construction orange-wearing Vols lose, it's a fine day. There are some people on the text line earlier this morning that have taken great joy in Tennessee losing.
Well, some of them are Arkansas fans.
A lot of Arkansas fans on the text line.
I got a hold in my excitement today.
Yeah. Connor Newt's fired up. Tennessee lost, too.
Yeah. I mean, do you care about Kentucky baseball?
I mean, not as much as, like, football or basketball, but I'll care.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I respect that.
That's fine. Were they the last SEC program to get there last year? Right?
I think so. Weren't they?
Everybody else had gotten.
Yeah.
There? Yeah. Yeah. So
they're on the rise, baby.
They are on the rise.
Here they come.
The SEC though, only two teams. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah. So what do you read into with that? Overrated this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, this is SEC haters do not miss a chance to rip the SEC, especially after. They actually answered the bell in men's basketball all the way to the end, which was like everybody was waiting on men's basketball the whole time to flounder. And early on, it looked a little shaky. And then, of course, we know what they did. I mean, they really like it was. Yeah, there's nothing you can argue. Baseball, you look at the high seeds and the SEC that get bounced. It's disappointing.
Yep.
But it's also like 25% of the College World Series is like it's not. That's not bad.
It's not
like,
a disaster. Yeah.
Like, so you had 13 teams. Let me help me do math here. Let's see. So you had 13 of 64. So, because I've saw some people complaining that the SEC got that many teams in the tournament. This is one of those things where we've talked about this before, but it's like when something happens in a tournament, then people want to say, see, this shouldn't have happened. Like, okay, so. Like when Virginia lost to UMBC, I guess what? Virginia shouldn't have been in this tournament. They were just the one seed. I mean, so, you know, people are like the SEC was overrated. Like the SEC, they win like every national championship in the sport. I understand those are past seasons, but by any measure, they deserved what they got. Maybe one host team shouldn't have gotten in there, but yeah, I mean, obviously, we've been used to them having half of Omaha, so it's like
true.
So you set the standard to like, wow, I mean, 2 out of 8 is not bad. However, it's not as good as the best conference in college baseball, the Pac-12.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Pac-12, which doesn't exist anymore, but has Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon State in Omaha. How about that?
Take pride, Pac-12. Still living on in the college baseball world.
Kind of sucks that league doesn't exist anymore. Just saying.
Kind of does.
Too bad.
Still, every time you say UCLA in Big Ten, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know. Great job. Big Ten baseball tradition coming through with the Bruins.
What a world we live in college sports. Just absolutely beautiful on that front. So, on the Tennessee front, you know, obviously you're coming off a national championship last year. They struggled down the stretch of the regular season. You do win the regional, so you feel good about that. And you get smoked by Arkansas in the super regional. So how do you view this season if you're Tennessee, and where do you think Vitello and this program go from here?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. You look at what they have. Obviously, this year, like, one guy that they were really hoping really would be probably be their Friday guy is A.J. Russell. And he's obviously had the well-documented health issues. He was able to come back and, you know, give him something late. But, like, there's a guy who I think, I would guess, would be, you know, potentially that guy. You know, you need good health luck, but he could be a great player next year. They have a lot of young players. They're going to get in the portal and get what they need to get. They're going to be a powerful team next year, you know. And you never – it's hard now at the end of these seasons in college sports to be like, this is what they're going to look like. Here's who's coming back. Here's
until Nico takes that next step for Tennessee next year.
Yeah, exactly. So, but knowing their history, I mean, Vitello has been addressing things in the portal very effectively, and they will continue to do that. They've got some young players who really didn't play this year who were huge recruits. So – they'll be very good. They'll be fine. The program, it's, you know, it's year to year, man. And this year, I would say, you know, look, think about the difference. National championship team, you know, Christian Moore and Blake Burke and these guys in your lineup last year, you know. And with some of these guys like Hunter Ensley as support players, then a guy like Ensley has to become like a key. And he's been a great Tennessee player, but, you know, there's a drop in talent level. It's very hard to repeat in this sport. Those guys on the broadcast were making that point yesterday. It's like last team to repeat was South Carolina in a totally different era, and you're talking early 2010s when they had, you know, back-to-back and they had another team that played. It's just usually when you have a team that's that good that wins it, like usually you're going to say goodbye to a lot of those guys. So they're going to be fine. And I think, you know, I think Vanderbilt – will be two. They look like they, on paper, could be really good next year. So hopefully that's a one-year miss for at least one of them to get to Omaha.
Give me Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Omaha at some point. That's all I want. Just give me Tennessee versus Vanderbilt and Omaha at some point. Be beautiful here on this program.
It'll happen. It'll happen at some point.
As Ty says on the text line, and I share the sentiment, thankful for baseball/softball season. Helping me through by filling some of the gap until football season starts. And now we got about another month or so until training camp. So right around the corner from football starting here. It is a shame that neither Tennessee nor Vanderbilt is in Omaha, though, because it's become a nice tradition here on the program of having one of them in there and seeing where things go at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's we need it, man. We need all we can get from everything else to get us through these hard, hard months without football.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More thoughts on the Vols to get to on our text line. We'll do that. Plus, the Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals in full force. We'll catch you up on that over the weekend. Take your thoughts on where those series are going as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe,
1025. Tune in to Totally Hits 93.3 tonight as the Nashville Cats take on the Billings Outlaws.
Pregame starting at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Robbie and Rex Rowe here on 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the groundbreaking house settlement that took place over the weekend as well, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. So take your thoughts on all that. Joe, the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals, both now locked up at 1. So you've got Edmonton and Florida. Both games have gone to overtime to this point. Florida gets the game winner the other night in double OT, Brad Marchand scoring the game winner for Florida. So they head back home with the series tied at 1, game 3 coming up tonight. Last night, Oklahoma City predictably responds in a pretty big way in game 2, and they crush Indiana. So that one's tied up at 1 as well. So let's start with the NBA Finals since it happened last night. What do you make of Oklahoma City's response and where things are headed with that series now tied up at 1 going back to Indiana?
Yeah, you watch it and you could come away saying, all right, OKC in 5. I'm not saying that I think that necessarily, but they've controlled, yeah, most of these two games, and they just, again, Indiana's magical end-of-game thing got them in game 1. But, like, Indiana just struggles to get comfortable. I'm watching this Miles Turner dunk, which was their one highlight from the game. That was pretty good. But they just, man, they just struggle to get into anything. Oklahoma City's defense is really special, and it is just so different from what you're used to seeing in this league in terms of it's gambling, but it's this controlled gambling where they seem to know exactly where to be in what gaps. And it's like sometimes like almost it looks random in terms of all of a sudden here's a trap out of nowhere. It's, you know what I mean? It's like it's seemingly sporadic, and they just kind of give them freedom. I don't know how much of it is, you know, really like carefully choreographed, but man, between that and just the fact that they can straight up guard everybody there, and then of course they have a rim protector, it's a really tough thing to deal with. I'm really interested to see, you know, if Indiana at home can figure some things out, but they're just struggling to get into offense. And if Oklahoma City is not going to help them, you know, with turnovers, help them get in transition at all, it's just really tough sledding for Indiana.
It is. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 34 last night. So he had 38 game 1, 34 in game 2. And like you said, like everybody pays attention to Oklahoma City's offense. And, you know, by the way, you know, we had a texter last week talk about the bench for Oklahoma City and how they don't have one. I think last night a pretty good example of, yeah, they got a pretty good bench out there. It comes in, it can play really well. But as we talked about last week with Vinny Goodwell from Yahoo, their defense is unbelievable. And that is – when you start looking at the metrics, and I saw Tim Legler talking about this on SportsCenter as well, like they are a historically great defensive basketball team by all the metrics you want to look at. They are historically great on the defensive end. And that is why I think it's going to be tough sledding for Indiana. Now, I will say, like, this has also been what Indiana has done, right? Like, they have a dramatic, unbelievable win – and they'll get smashed a couple games in the series, but they found ways to get through it and win on the other side. Yeah. So they've been a very resilient team to this point, and when it looks like maybe a team has figured them out, they come back the next game and they play really well. So I'm really interested to see, does that pattern continue in game 3, or has Oklahoma City actually figured something out here and they're just going to be way different than any of these other matchups that Indiana's been able to overcome.
Yeah, ESPN showing the graphic of their next game after getting blown out. They've been blown out by 15 plus. They won the next game by 17, by 20, by 26 in the previous three series. So they usually respond really well. I mean, Halliburton, you know, he ends up with okay numbers because he has a very productive fourth quarter, but it was pretty much garbage time, and Lou Dort shutting him down, like, and just Halliburton, to me, just weak with the ball sometimes and just not looking for a shot enough early in these games, I think. I think that's a huge thing. I think he has to think of this in terms of, I've got to just create some offense by myself at times and just, you know, just because he can get himself a shot. He needs to do that more often. I know he's a point guard first. He's trying to get guys involved. I think that's normally a good way to go, but he's got to score early in these games. And so I think that'll be a big thing to look for in game 3, is that he's just going to come out looking to score, and he needs to.
On the Stanley Cup side of things, it was a great game the other night between Florida and Edmonton in game 2. And it looked like Edmonton was dead in the water. And then Corey Perry scores a goal with 17 seconds left to tie it up and send it to overtime. And you thought, man, if you're Florida, you had a 2-goal lead in game 1. I think at that point, heading into that game, were 31-0 under Paul Maurice when you had led after either the first or second periods, and then you blew that one. And then
You had it where it looked like you just wrapped it up and won, and Corey Perry ties it. And, man, if they'd have lost that game, it's like, wow, they've totally blown this. So they get it done in double overtime. I thought that was a huge, huge win for Florida, given the circumstances. And now we'll see heading back to game three tonight. I mean, McDavid made just an unbelievable play in that game to get the puck over to Draisaitl. And when he's playing like that, I don't really know what you do with it. But Florida is built not to stop him, because I don't know if anybody could stop him. But Florida, with how deep they are, we've seen it in this series. Their offense can bail them out a little bit. So I'm interested to see what game three brings tonight in the Cup final. It's been great so far.
Yeah. And Brad Marchand, how huge was that pickup for them? You know, for the stuff that he's figuring out and the plays that he can make in this series. Pretty amazing. You know, your depth is, you know, it's so important to have guys like that, you know, beyond your top two lines who can make plays like that. I mean, this series, I continue to be not super optimistic. I that Indiana is going to take that one deep. I'll be shocked if this one doesn't go seven. Like, it'd be such a disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not game seven overtime, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm counting on game seven overtime.
Yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable so far. And I think, like, they get to split in Edmonton. I think it'll probably split again in Florida. And my guess is you're going to be heading back to Edmonton for game five with a 2-2 series. But we'll see how that ends up working out. But it's been awesome. So, like, it's been really high-level hockey. And that's what – sometimes you get to a Cup final and it's not that. Like, it's not – I mean, the intensity is always there. Sometimes the execution's not quite there. It's been incredible hockey so far in this series.
Can't take your eyes off it. It's incredibly entertaining. And you watch it and it's like – I'm like, why did I think it was going to be anybody but these two teams?
Yeah, same.
But,
yeah.
But there were plenty of other teams that could have made a case, obviously, going in. I didn't see everybody picking a rematch. But I'm glad we got this.
Same here. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, man. Hey, Joe. I've told you before, you're my favorite on here, all right? So I'm going to lend that support. It's the same thing if you were with your spouse in public and they say something that's, like, blatantly wrong. You're like, no, that's correct. You know, you'll support them in public. I got to tell you, dude, your NBA take is so whack. Like, it is so wild. I've been wanting to talk
to
you.
What's my NBA take? Tell me what my take is, because Jared, of course, twisted my words into – I said the NBA is more entertaining now. I never said anything to the – how many times, Robbie, have I said, what's my favorite sport of all time?
League, the 80s era. NBA?
Right. That's my favorite. That is. So I just want to make sure you're not doing what Jared does, which is take someone's words, twist them so he can, you know, carve out two segments on his show, which is what he did. But go ahead.
I understand. I'm just saying, if you're to say that – because there's no way to compare it, but if you were to go, these guys aren't as entertaining, and they would beat the 80s and 90s guys by 60 points, they wouldn't, because Jordan and all those guys would adapt to these weak, soft NBA rules from today, and it would be a different level of ball. That would be interesting. Like, the guys are just they're different. Everybody, you evolve, man. That's how you do. But no, that, just to hear you talk about the NBA in this way, dude, it's weird to me. It's one of the weirdest. I've listened to you for years, and it's the weirdest take you've had so far.
Okay, so just to clarify then, so first of all, I'm not saying they'd beat him by 60, and I've also said Jordan would be a star today, just like he was then. What I'm saying is that people get bigger, faster, stronger, more skilled, nutrition, training in 30-plus years, 40 years, things progress. We would never think football teams of then would beat our football teams at today, right? You agree with that or no?
Yeah, I mean, I would say
okay.
So.
So why in basketball do we not think that people get bigger, stronger, faster, better? Why do we not think that with the whole world involved now in basketball, we look at the Euros we have in this league, that the level of talent is higher? You don't think it is?
It is, but here's the deal, dude. Okay. And I'll kind of leave you because we could talk about this till we're blue in the face. The first time Steph Curry come down the court and got right past half court and threw it up and it hit, you went, oh man, that was crazy. And then when he kept doing it, and then everybody kept doing it, you're like, hey, he just ruined the sport. it sucks now because all they do is chunk up threes. So it just, I don't know. The game's adapted almost to an unwatchable level now, though. Like, especially if you don't have a team.
So did you watch the game last night? All they did was chuck up threes?
I watched the last two. I understand. No, okay. This is different. You know, okay. The series is different, but it's an anomaly as well.
Okay. Oh, it is. Okay.
100% an anomaly. That's, people don't play basketball anymore. 110 to 111, okay. And that's a low-scoring game, dude. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call.
Do we want to start going through some scores of this postseason? I think we've had some 85-78
I'm trying to remember what year it was, but it was in like the early 2000s. I was just scrolling TikTok, which I do way too much, and it was like a conference final game where Kobe threw that lob to Shaq.
Yeah,
and it was like late in the fourth quarter. And it was like 81-79. And I was like, what is this? basketball used to be like this. That's right. God. Yeah.
I mean, look, again, Detroit Pistons fan growing up. I mean, the Bad Boys, my favorite of all time. I love them. They'd get waxed today, but I love them. But again, so they kicked the crap out of the Bulls. But no, the Bulls, they got the will to win. But you go back to the 04 range when the Pistons won it all. They beat the Lakers in 04. Like, the Pistons-Pacers games in the conference final were seriously, like, there was, like, the famous play where Tayshaun Prince blocked. It was, like, 73-68.
It was, yeah, it's
fourth.
Crazy.
I forgot, like, my God, like, college games were higher scoring than, you know. What? So, again, I just, if we're going to complain about the take, just make sure you know what the take is. I'm not saying, like, I will never be more entertained than I was by that brand of basketball back then. I will never love this more than that. I just recognize, like, there's progress in athletics. But for some reason, basketball's in a time capsule for some people.
615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Take more of your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals, plus another development in the world of hockey that I saw coming after the way that a series ended, but it's still stunning when you think about it. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
So I noticed that Connor here on the caller board has really big letters. Is that because you think I'm an old guy? I appreciate it. I appreciate the...
Oh, it's just a preset. Like, okay. I can make them smaller if you want me to.
No, I don't. I'm just saying, like, I didn't know this was even an option.
I think...
Previous producers have forced me to squint.
I think David does it for Jared. Okay. And he just... Obviously, he's been the last one to use this board.
Oh, Jared's got bad eyesight, too, along with takes.
I guess so.
I didn't know.
I can read every last letter. I can read up there.
You just gave him two segments.
It's good. Maybe so. You can spend more time on Joe's NBA takes, where apparently Joe thinks that Michael Jordan, along with Tom Brady, are not top 75 players in their own sport.
I think Michael Jordan is one of the greatest NBA Central Division shooting guards of all time.
That's good. Good to know. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. You know how Friday we were talking to Vanderbilt and how much further Tennessee is ahead of Vanderbilt? Even though we beat them 3 out of 4 times this year, that doesn't matter. That's just a game. They go up and they play.
But you realize they won the national championship last year, right?
Yeah, in the years we won it, I believe we made it back to Omaha the year next year after, too. But did they? No.
Okay, what does that have to do with right now?
Well, right now, you were talking about how further ahead they are than Vanderbilt.
Yeah, they won the national championship. It made it farther in the postseason than they did this year, Tim. Okay. What is so hard about that?
We beat them 3 out of the 4 games, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with the postseason? Does the postseason matter or does the regular season matter? Which one matters more, Tim? You tell me.
Tennessee, if the postseason matters, they're home now the same way Vanderbilt is.
Okay, did they make it farther than Vanderbilt or did they not?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so what are we talking about, Tim?
My point is you're saying that, okay, did they – how many games – they played 4 games this year. How many Tennessee win?
They won 1.
Okay. The other thing I want to get to right quick because you're not going to want me to stay – anyway, after the deal Root did, Vitalo complains about they should have done. You know something? It sucks when you get a little taste of your own medicine. And what Root did probably wasn't near as bad as your players running around the bases flipping players off.
What Tennessee player flipped them off this year? I must have missed that. Did Tennessee? Did any Tennessee players flip them off this year?
It's on there. You just got to look on the internet. You can see it.
It happened this year.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. It did.
Okay, so you have no idea what you're talking about. Thank you, Tim. We'll see you later.
Wow. We finally got Robbie yelling at it. I've never seen Robbie.
If you're
going to
come with stupid takes, that's fine. But, like, come with something relevant, present. Not from 2021, 2022.
By the way, Vanderbilt won the national title in 2019. They didn't have a tournament in 2020, and then they didn't return to Omaha in 2021.
Yeah, they,
they were in Omaha in 2021, but they did. Yeah, the tournament got canceled.
I was born
next year.
Last week, so
that's true.
Yeah, they did get to the. They got to the final game in 2021.
Again, like I don't understand.
But they didn't get. I mean, 2021. They didn't.
I mean, if you want to go back and talk about the entire program's history, yeah, Vanderbilt's a better baseball program,
right?
But like the idea that right now. It's not even really arguable.
No,
to me.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
I agree, and I'm not. I really don't. I really, really don't. You know, again, you know, GB, Joe, whatever. I'm not. I don't have an allegiance. I don't. But I don't think it's. I don't think it's a very good argument at all that Vanderbilt has a better program right now. And again, is it arbitrary to take the last 5 years? I mean, I'm taking. I think the last 5 years is a good. Time. I mean,
again, if you want to talk about better
if you want
overall
to start
program,
in 2014, then we can do that.
Yeah, but. If you want to talk better overall program, right? Like if you're going back through the history of the whole thing, yeah, it's not like Vanderbilt's got the better program. I don't think would argue against that, right?
But
if you're talking about right now, like who's the Jared calls it the best team in the state or the best program in the state right now? I mean, I think is Tennessee not the only team that has. Been to the Supers 5 years in a row?
Yes, exactly. Vanderbilt winning 3 of 4 this year is great for Vanderbilt, but that does not – that just doesn't overcome the postseason success Tennessee's had and consistently is having, while Vanderbilt is consistently not having it. I mean, I think that's – like, you have to keep that in mind too, right? Like, Jared's whole thing is – because he got into the – you know, you don't celebrate Sweet 16s. That's fine. But you also, if you never make the Sweet 16, which is what the reality is for Vanderbilt right now, I'm sorry, it's just what it is, then, like, how is that not part of the equation?
I don't understand the thought process here. Now, again, look, I get it. Like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you won the SEC tournament this year, and you beat Tennessee 3 out of 4 times. So, we talked about how good that is for the rivalry in terms of it flipping, because recent history, it has not gone well for Vanderbilt, and they flipped that part of it this year. But you then have to have some postseason success on top of that. At the end of the day, when you're talking about college baseball, college football, whatever it is, the postseason is where things matter. That's what we talk about, right?
Like, yes.
How many times have we heard from Predators and Titans fans of, well, it's great that they get to the dance in the regular season. I know that feels like a long time ago for Titans fans specifically. But we want to do something in the playoffs. Like the playoffs is where things matter.
Right. So, and then again, if you're, you know, I understand the head-to-head. It was great for Vanderbilt this year.
Sure.
But let's talk in this time frame. Again, basically the Vitello era. Like in the Vitello era, he has surpassed Vanderbilt. And again, can it go back? Sure. I mean, if Tim Corbin's there, I think Vanderbilt's going to be good and knocking on the door. And this year they should have been in Omaha, but they didn't do it. They didn't perform in the postseason. So if you're going to take Tony Vitello right now in this stretch against Tim Corbin, he does have him beat head-to-head, at least since 21, and he has way more postseason success. I don't understand why this is controversial, but I do. I appreciate Robbie yelling at a – I've never seen Robbie get into it with a Vanderbilt fan before. So there we go.
I mean, I like most Vanderbilt fans. They're friends of mine.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Sure. Not Tim, though.
Are we sure that wasn't Tim Corbin in disguise?
Well, I'm not sure. Tim, I'd probably feel bad about that if it was.
If so, that was a hell of a job, Tim, disguising your voice.
We'll get to the Peter DeBoer part of this a little bit later because I do have some thoughts on that. I heard Jared's take on Peter DeBoer over the weekend as well, so we'll get into all that a little bit later in the show. There was a groundbreaking settlement that took place in the world of college sports this weekend, finally, that we've known is coming, but now it's here. So what does the House settlement mean for college sports, college football? Why should fans care about it? and how will it change things moving forward? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.